The Lord bless each one tonight, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And we're going to have our brother John come on Sunday morning and give a report and share the word. So hopefully everybody will be there on Sunday morning. I want to try and start on the book of Daniel tonight, and I might just read the first couple of chapters tonight, and you can remain seated. There's really so much in the book of Daniel. I've been reading over these first 2 to 3 chapters this last couple of days, just reading them over and reading them over. And there's so many things in it you could say and preach. And I don't really want to get into preaching tonight. I want to take my time with these different thoughts. And I don't know how many services I'll preach on it. I don't know. Just whatever the Lord leads. But when you read commentaries and the different things in the book of Daniel, nobody really deals with the whole book. Most people take chapter 9 and they go into chapter 9. But I want to start at chapter 1 and go through the whole book. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to explain everything in it, because I can't. And I don't believe anybody can. And I just believe we need the Lord's help in all these things. And we just trust the Lord will help us tonight, but I just trust that God will bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow our heads again, praise God. And also want us to remember the night of Matthew's uncle in prayer again, James McDonald, and that God will really touch him and save him. And his sisters were saying, his sister Carly has been praying. They're not really sure what he's praying, but at least he's praying. And he's trying to pray. He's a bit confused probably with the medication and stuff, but we just trust that God will really move on him. He didn't come to church at one time, but I don't know what experience he had or whether he's ready or not. But the main thing's to be ready to go. It'd be great if the Lord heals him, but the first thing's salvation. That's the most important thing. Let us just bow our heads in. If you have a need tonight, just raise your hand up to the Lord as well. God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you tonight in the lovely and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have a great privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can enter in boldly by the new and living way in beyond the veil. Lord, for the veil is rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the way is made into the very presence of God himself. Lord, we thank you for that new and living way tonight, Jesus Christ. Lord, we come not in our own strength or power, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you promised us, for 2 or 3 are gathered in your name, that you will be in the midst of us and not to bless us. Father, we ask for thy blessing upon this service tonight. We ask you'll cover and wash every one of us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We ask you'll sanctify every one of us afresh from the evil of this life and this world. We pray you'll fill every one of us afresh, even as our brothers praying, with the Holy Spirit on fire. Lord, we ask for the hands raised tonight, that thou indeed will meet that need of that brother, of that sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those this evening that genuinely couldn't be here, Lord, because of a commitment or work. We ask you to bless them and strengthen them. And we do pray tonight for James McDonald. You'll touch him from the crown of his head to the very soles of his feet. And most of all, Lord, it'll have a real assurance of thy great salvation. May the Spirit of God open his understanding and bring him to the saving knowledge of the truth. We pray, God, now you bless your word to our hearts tonight. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. Lord, I don't take these things lightly, but I know this is your word. And we need the Holy Spirit to rightly divide this word. And Lord, I ask for that Spirit to be in the service and upon your word tonight and upon your servant and upon your people. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I just want to read, first of all, the first couple of chapters, if I can, to get a picture of this. And the really thing I want to say from the outset is the stupidness of Nebuchadnezzar. It's one of the first things I've seen in this. How stupid that man was. And you know, he didn't get it. He got Daniel, but not the God of Daniel. That's what he got. And I thought, and I'm going to read it now in a moment, but I thought as I read it, a statement William Branham made. And he said they made an image of Daniel the prophet and they worshipped it. And you're going to see that these other three men was called to bow to it, but they wouldn't do it. Because they didn't worship Daniel or serve him, but they served the God of Daniel. There's a big difference. God will not give his glory to another. He wants it for himself. Praise God. In the third year of the reign, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to give the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favoured and skillful in the wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Wherefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who have appointed your meat, your drink. For why should he see your faces worse lacking than the children which are of your sort? Then should ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had sent over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. What did you see right at the start of this first chapter? The supernatural ability of God in these men. They wouldn't drink the wine. They wouldn't eat the king's meat. It was left for them. And also you could go back where they had things of God's house in the pagan house. For it was pagan. For they worshipped false gods. They didn't know the real God, but they worshipped gods of clay, different gods. And you can see this trend going right through the book of Daniel, this King Nebuchadnezzar. And you'll see as we go through it, when God unveiled himself, and God revealed the great things we revealed to him, he's still never seen God in it. He's seen Daniel. He's seen the man, but not God. And I believe that's a danger today. The people see the man God uses and not God. Now remember John the Baptist said that I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes, for there's one coming mightier than me. The shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose. He says, I baptize you water to repentance,
but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. John never preached to himself. John never pointed to himself. But John said, there's one greater than me. There's one mightier than me. There's one brighter than me that shines more than me. It's him that I'm pointing you to. It's him that I'm preaching. It's him that I'm sent to declare. And every man of God must do that and bring that and never point to himself and never point you to another man. He can be pointed to no man, only the man Christ Jesus. And this is the thing that Nebuchadnezzar never saw. But God brought him to his knees, I can tell you. When you read this, praise God. And here we see the supernatural provision of God. These men never took the wine and all these things on this man over the eunuchs, expecting them to fail away. Expecting them after 10 days that their face would be sunken. They wouldn't be looking too good. But they looked better than all the rest of them because of God's supernatural hand on them. That's the same God that was supernaturally with Israel, that supernaturally sustained Israel, that supernaturally fed Israel. And remember that God, the God of Daniel, was that God. That God that came in the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That supernatural God that opened the Red Sea and took them over supernaturally. And you see, I want you to see from the very start of this book of Daniel that we're working with supernatural God. And I'm going to try and show you tonight, and it won't take long, because I want time for us to pray. Half an hour and I'll stop. But I tell you, God is supernatural. And when we look at these, people often quote, I show you a more sure word of prophecy. That's the prophecy's been fulfilled in this book. And when you calculate out the chances of it, it's into the mass of thousands for them to actually happen. And every one of them happened. It was no chance work what God done with this Bible. This is the absolute authority here. And we believe God literally fulfills his word. It doesn't need some private interpretation. But God literally fulfills it. Praise God. Now look at this. Verse 15, and at the end of 10 days, and I'm preaching already and I didn't want to preach, but at the end of 10 days, the countenance appeared fairer in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melsar took away the portion of the meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and all dreams. I tell you, these men were specially chosen by God. These men were specially anointed by God for a job. And God does that. And when you read this Bible, it amazes me. When you go into the tabernacle, all the men that was picked even to build the stuff for it were anointed and specially chosen. Nobody just haphazardly could do it. God chose them. And you didn't need nobody to tell you they were chosen of God, for the evidence was with them. Praise God. Now look at this verse. Let's go down to verse 19. And the king commanded with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. 10 times better. The man of God that's a real man of God is 10 times better than all the rest. Isn't that something? 10 times. Not just better, but 10 times better, it says. I'm telling you, that's God. And Daniel continued, even under the first year of King Cyrus, verse 2, chapter 2, sorry. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then speak the Chaldeans to the king of Sirach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Give us a dream, then we'll tell you. They want you to see how good God is. You don't need to tell God your dream. He can tell you it, for he gives you it. If God gives it, he can tell you. Amen. Look at verse 5. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. I tell you this for some sentence. These boys had probably boasted. Astrologers, don't they do it today? They boast of what they can do. They boast of how smart they are. And all these things, and these fellows had probably boasted as well. Well, now here the rubber hits the road, as a man said. Here it was, the king said, if you can't tell me, here's about like the dunghill. That's some sentence, isn't it? But God always has a man. Praise God. Look at verse 6. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. The answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying, corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. So these boys wanted to waste time. I want to tell you that one thing about God's never late. God is never late. Now if you took the story of when he raised Lazarus from the dead, some people thought he was late, but he wasn't. He was on time. Isn't that right? And he's always on time. But these boys were wasting time. They couldn't do it. They wanted him to tell them, explain it to them. And then, these people will try and interpret even dreams for you. If you have a dream or if I have a dream, and I'll tell you what I think it is. That's all good, but it might not be what they're saying. But a real man of God can interpret it. Because God remains the same. Remember, everything you read in this Bible, I want to say something. Every single thing you read in this Bible comes under a statement that was made in the church age books, where William Branham made a powerful statement. He said, the greatest revelation of all is God never changes. So if God never changes, if he could do something once, he can still do it again. And our God, whatever you read that he's done, he can do it again. That's how great our God is. Verse 10, and the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things as any magicians or astrologers or Chaldeans. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with man. Not God, but the gods. And this king believed in gods, but his gods were going to fail him. And these astrologers and all these believed in gods. And you know, we're living in a world today, and you know what people in sports say? It's in the lap of the gods. How many's ever heard that statement? That's what they say. You hear it with the racing cars or other sports, they'll say, who knows, it's in the lap of the gods. Absolute pure rubbish. There's no such thing as the lap of the gods. There's one God. Satan wants to be God.
Amen.
He wants to be God, but he's not God.
Amen.
He thinks he's God. He's classed as the God of this evil age, meaning he's worshipped, but he's not God. He's an imitation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's not the real God. There's one real God.
Amen.
That's the God of Daniel. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went out forth that the wise men should be slain, and they said to Daniel and his fellows that to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hastily from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And I believe Daniel went in and spoke with the king. Then Daniel went and sought God. I believe that. And I tell you, if you want to know an answer for someone, don't go looking here or there or yonder. Seek God. Seek God for the answer. Now God could do it many ways, but you need to seek God. And when God does do it, the Bible says he'd confirm it by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. And Daniel sought God here. Daniel knew what God could do. Praise God. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. That's open vision. A night vision means open vision. It means that Daniel saw it like you're watching a movie. That's what it means. Isn't it amazing that God works like that? People today think, and I'm not deriding anything, but they think it only happened today. It happened all through the Bible.
Amen.
Open vision happened all through the Bible. Daniel was a seer of God. How many of you know there's seers in the Bible?
Amen.
This is a seer of God here. This is where it comes from. And Daniel was a seer of God. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my father. See this attitude this man has. It's an attitude of worship. What a brother John preached the other week. This is incense here. This is the incense what her brother talked about. Daniel's thanking God. Daniel's worshiping God for what he's done for him. Too often God does things for us, we never deem it. That's true. When the Lord does something for us, he wants us to praise him. He wants us to thank him. He wants us to magnify him. He wants us not to be afraid to get up at a meeting and say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You've done it for me. He doesn't want us to sit like stuffed shirts. Never deem it. You know, when the lepers were cleansed, Jesus said, if many come back to thank me. The Lord wants us to thank him. And I tell you, Daniel, give God the respect. Daniel praised God. Daniel worshipped God. Daniel respected God. And when God moves, we need to praise him and respect him. We don't need to lift a man up. We need to lift God up. Don't give glory to no man. Give it to Jesus Christ. He's the one. Praise God. And if he uses a man, it's the cause of the Lord in him. Not the man. It's God that's in the man. Praise God. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God, my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king. And I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. Then the king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen in the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. Now this is where we're coming to, and I won't get into it all tonight. But God, right back here in the book of Daniel, showed the end time. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Right back here, God, through a heathen, this man's a heathen, He's not a man. How many knows Nebuchadnezzar was no saved man? Now he, God damned him, we know that. And he turned to God. But at this point he's not. He's worshipping idols. He's worshipping false gods. But God brought him in contact with a prophet and a seer. And the things that no one else could do, God done. And he shows the end time. Now, I'm amazed at that, because God did it through him, Nebuchadnezzar. Does that not amaze you?
Amen.
God didn't say to Daniel, you'll dream it, and you'll show it. He showed Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
Now, Daniel interpreted it, but he used that man to bring it forth. And I tell you, there's so much going on today in the lands of darkness. But there's light here. Here's your light. When people talk about light at the end time, it's in this book. Now make you no mistake about that. It's not because you're in some organization. It's because of this book. And Jesus Christ, that's the light.
Amen.
There shall be light at the evening times, Christ.
Amen.
Not some organization. That's not it. Because once they organize, God moves on. But the light remains the same. Light. Praise God for the light. Amen. Look at this. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came. Look, verse 28. Verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, and should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Now I want you to see again that Daniel's making it plain and clear. I am nothing. It's God. Are you seeing that?
Yeah.
It's so there'll be no glory to Daniel. The glory must go to God. We want a man. Now I mean, when I say we people want a man. And they're going to get a man. But the Bible says they are. And he's called the man of sin. And they're looking for a man. And Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, and they received me not. Another will come in his own name, him they'll receive. But Daniel gives the glory to God. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast, his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. Till thou sawest, till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image. How many knows what the stone is? Christ. Cut out without hands. Smote the image. Praise God. Upon his feet that were iron and clay, and break them to pieces, mingle, mix together. Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. Glory to God. Every single kingdom that's raised up, and is raising up, God will smash it. I'm telling you, this is what the Word of God's telling us. God will smash it down. Now I'm not going to get into this image tonight. I won't have time tonight to get into it. Look, 10 more minutes and I'm quitting. But I'm going to get into it, the Lord willing. You pray for us. And we're going to really look at all these things, praise God. This is a dream. We will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for God of heaven have given thee the kingdom, power and strength and glory. Whithersoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thy hand, and have made thee a ruler over them all. Thou art his head of gold. Daniel, he's bringing it right down. Look, thou art this head of gold. Now all the things you say, what mightn't be right, and all the different things, God made everything. It's true, I think a brother Gary mentioned it one. He made the dark and the light. Now that surprises some people, but that's the Word of God. God made it all. And he's in charge and in control, I can guarantee it. And there's nothing happening that God doesn't know about. Praise God. And after thee also shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereof thou sayest, sawest the feet and the toes part of the potter's clay and part of the iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the merry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. So every single kingdom will be destroyed, but the kingdom God sets up will never be destroyed. So why is it that men want to build their own kingdoms? And that's what people's doing today. People are building their own kingdoms, when all God says will wipe them all out, and only mine will stand. That's why we need to be working for one kingdom. Amen. The eternal kingdom. Amen. Amen. Praise God. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. Mm-hmm. Are you reading it right? You are. You see, that's wrong. Even though God used Daniel, it's wrong. You say, but God done it like that he did. But you're going to see God deals with this man. He worshipped Daniel. Now I'll tell you, this is interesting stuff. Fell on his face and he worshipped him. Boy, I'm telling you. And commanded that they should offer an obligation and sweet odors unto him. So he had his false gods, now he has another God, but it's still not God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? This is real plain. I was reading it today on my break time, reading it again, reading it, keep a wee Bible with me. Just kept reading it, thinking about this, and the things William Branham said about it was coming, and he said they worshipped a holy man, and that man was a prophet. Let's read on what they do here. Burned incense to him, burned sweet odors to him. God doesn't want that. You see, didn't God rebuke Israel? He said your burnt offerings and sacrifices are useless. Amen. He said obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm not impressed with your offerings, God said.
Yes.
I'm wanting obedience.
Amen.
And people can say, oh, we're worshipping God and all, and it could look good on the outside, but are they obeying God?
Amen.
They're not obeying God in this country at the minute. They're doing the very things that God's against.
Right.
And they're boasting in it. It's a terrible thing. I tell you, the darkness is over the land. We don't need a red England up no more. Here's his black. And they say this was one of the last strongholds for the gospel. But that's the devil wants to get that stopped. This is why all this is coming about. And we're at the end time. Jesus could come today. Right at the end time. Verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said of a truth that it's your God is a God of gods. Now you see, that's a wrong statement. He's the God. Not a God of gods, he's the God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Not God of gods, but he's one Lord. Now I know he's praised him, but he still doesn't see it. Then the king answered. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief and the governors, all of the wise men of Babylon. Them Daniel requested of the king, and he sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now I'm not going to read no more than that. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And I will stop. But I want you to come back hungry for more. And want us time to pray. Now just some things I've put down here. The Bible is unlike all other religious books in that its basis is authenticity and authority and inspiration of prophecy. Not only does it based on authenticity and authority and prophecy, but they've come to pass. This is a proven book. There's men can write a book and make a prediction, but as soon as that prediction fails, they're false. But every prediction that's been made in the Word of God, every prophecy, has come to pass and is coming to pass. This is absolutely the absolute. This here is a more sure word of prophecy. These prophecies have been fulfilled. This is it. God is real. The Bible said he could swear by no greater than he swore by himself. That by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. That's in Hebrews. We are working with someone that can't fail. But man can fail. And will fail. But God can't. And God in his foreknowledge knew all these things ever before they happened. He knew you'd be in this meeting tonight. Do you believe that? He knew I'd be preaching tonight. He knew you'd be listening tonight. He knows everything about you, everything about me. And the Bible says it's good thoughts for us. Good thoughts. And we're held in the very palms of his hand. And he holds the very breath we breathe. He's Almighty God. Praise God. All the religion books contain your predictions as to the future. If its authors had attempted to foretell future events, their own fulfillment would long ago have discredited the writers. And many of them are discredited. And many men have made predictions and made statements that have not come to pass. Therefore, they're false. But this book has come to pass, but you have to wait for it. And it will speak. If you wait for it, it will speak. And God, when he did it, didn't speak right away, but it did speak. It did eventually speak, because it was God behind it. History written in advance, that's what your Bible is. Your Bible is the most up-to-date book of the world. You can't over-preach this book. You can't overemphasize this book. You can't overread this book and eat too much of it. This book, there's nothing like it. Amen. Like this Bible. Men died that we could have this book. Thank God for men like William Tyndale, burned alive at the stake so that we could have a Bible. And I still say it, and I'll never change. For me, my pick of the messengers for me is Martin Luther. You said that Brother Tom were in the last church age. I appreciate them all. I love them all with the love of God. But Martin Luther for me was in the darkest pit of them all. In popery to death. Deep darkness. A monk with Augustine order and God reached him out on one scripture. That's the power of the word of God. The just shall live by faith. And God delivered that man. And there's churches still today from then. And look the notes and the scriptures he took and how to write them over again many times. They were lost and everything. And God preserved that man. I think it's wonderful. Now I appreciate them all. Don't be saying, well, Brother Tom's against, I'm against nobody. But I just love the life of Martin Luther. How many agrees with him? It's wonderful. Wesley's good. Yes, but I'll still stick with Luther. The proofs in that foreknowledge of God. This is the prophet Daniel opened to the heathen king Nebuchadnezzar in his inspiration of the king's dream. And this all starts out here. We're into it tonight. We're to chapter 2. And it all starts out that God supernaturally give the dream to Daniel in an open night vision, and then God supernaturally interpreted it. Now that's one thing, that a man could tell you someone and interpret it for you, but it's another thing that it can happen thousands of years later and being fulfilled in our day. That's absolutely amazing what our God's able to do. In verse 45, for as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out on the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God have made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. Prophecy is twofold. Descriptive and predictive. Twofold. The prophets were both foretellers and forthtellers. So there were foretellers and forthtellers. They could tell into the future things that God was going to do. They had both insight and foresight. Their prophetic utterances were not the deductions of reason, but were imparted to them by the Holy Ghost itself. Daniel never went to bed late after a feed and had a dream and concocted something up. Daniel was actually visited by Almighty God. Daniel given by Almighty God. And it was interpreted by Almighty God. This was God. Now I'll have to close when we read this scripture. And I'll keep telling it. I won't go over it. I'm dying to tell it, but I'll have to stop. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came that in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's a secret. Moved by the Holy Ghost. I tell you, God can still move the man today by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Daniel was moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Moved by the Holy Ghost. The magicians, the astrologers, and all these great men in this kingdom were never moved by the Holy Ghost, but Daniel was. 10 times better than all of them. It's a bit like the statement the man wrote in a book called All Things Are Possible. He said, put them all in one end, and the prophet of God in the other, and he'd outweigh them all. There it is in the Bible. Now, we're not talking about men that's genuine, but they're talking about the nonsense that's about it. I tell you, Daniel wasn't working with nonsense. He was working with the real thing. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for the blessing of your word. We're so glad tonight for men like Wycliffe, for Luther, for Tyndale, for all the wonderful men down through the ages that preserved this book. Even the Waldensians, Lord, it rehearsed in their hearts and learnt the word of God, even that they can recite scriptures perfectly, even full books. Lord, we praise you for such an inspiration. The devil tried to kill this word out and to kill the light out. But we thank you tonight that there's light at the evening time. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the inspiration of scripture. We thank you for the fulfillment of scripture. We thank you for man that's moved by the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, move us tonight by the same Spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Ghost come into our meetings. Let the Holy Ghost come into our lives, into our homes, and on our children, and on our, and all that's near and dear to us. Move them by the Holy Ghost, we pray. Lord, we know you can do more in a minute with a man of the Holy Ghost than we'll do in a lifetime without it. Lord, we need you tonight. We desire your presence. We sense your anointing in this room tonight. We sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful tonight, Lord, that you've preserved our lives. You've kept us to this hour. We thank you this evening, most of all, for thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Father, tonight I pray thy blessing in this room upon every man and every woman, upon every representative at home that's represented here tonight. May the power of God come upon everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, for hard prayers that seem hard and the natural to be answered, I pray you'll answer them and you'll bring it to pass. We believe in the God of Daniel. We worship the God of Daniel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We say, holy and reverent is thy name, for there's none like unto thee, for only thou doest wondrous things. Lord, we worship you tonight.
Hallelujah.
Father, I pray you'll help us to thank you. To thank you for saving us, delivering us. Lord, for lifting us from the dunghill and setting our feet on the king's highway. For washing us, giving us a new garment, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, we thank you for that tonight, Lord Jesus, that thy cleansing blood shall never lose its power.
Amen.
Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Lord, I need your help to preach these things. I cannot do it alone. But Lord, I thank you for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost come in our meetings and interpret the word to our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, this evening, bless thy people. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for Brother John for Sunday morning. You bless him and strengthen him. Give him the desire of his heart. Anoint him with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Bless your Brother Frank and Sister Mary. Do them good, we pray, Lord. And Father, give thyself all the praise and all the glory. And all that we would seek to do and want to do, we commit it all to thee. And we pray that thou indeed will direct our paths. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. Let's just seek the Lord. Praise God.